Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dan, what was the most interesting thing that you saw this weekend?
I think it was probably more what I heard than saw, Lawrence, because it is very basic at this stage for a lot of these guys just getting their feet on the ground. Their heads are swimming with all the information coming at them. I thought as valuable as anything was the opportunity to talk with both the head coach and the two coordinators, the three coordinators, really, and glean some of their insight to where they want to go here in these next 6 weeks. And then obviously when they get into training camp, I think as much as anything, it was a reaffirmation that how early it is, right? Like they Ben Johnson and this group have barely coached on the field together. They're still getting to know the personnel that they've assembled. And I think they feel like they've got a pretty big box of puzzle pieces that they have to figure out how to arrange. And it's going to be a long process of starting to do that.
How much were you able to see, Dan, in terms of some of these former players acting as coaches and being empowered to be firm and try to create the accountability that everyone knows this group needs?
Well, no question. For me, the difference is that it's a lot easier to be really, really firm and demanding with a group of rookies and tryout players that are just fighting to have a key card the next day to the building as it is to when you get the full team together with veterans. And so a lot of that stuff, Spiegs, I think will come into focus a little more once we get the veterans back on the field next week. And then obviously when we get into training camp and things are a little bit more intense, but I do think you feel the edge from Eric Bieniemy. I do think you feel the energy from Antoine Randle L. I think you, even from the head coach, I think you see Ben Johnson and that lively spirit that he has, I think is a good way to put it. Like he's going to be a guy that wants things done a certain way, and he will praise you if it is done the right way, and he will get on you if it's not. And so that's going to be kind of fun to watch his evolution in this role, because this is the first time that he's had to do that.
You grinned as you said lively spirit. You've been thinking about that, how to frame what you're seeing and hearing from Ben Johnson?
I just think that as I've gotten to know Ben a little bit more from the seat that we sit in over the last couple of months, you're appreciative of the competitive edge he has. I think it's sharper than a lot of us realized when he was hired. And I think it's just going to be fun to watch that kind of show itself as they go through this process of building this football team and trying to do so in a way where he himself said on the day he was introduced at Halas Hall that this team can win and can win now. And so there will be a level of urgency to the things they do, even with the patience that must come along with that for everybody, as everybody tries to get sort of acclimated with one another and comfortable with how things are being done.
Dan, what do you think of this experiment that they're doing with Ozzie Trapillo and where to start him and where he might end up?
Right. And I wrote about that on Friday because I think this is probably the most fascinating player of the next 2 months for the Bears, because it's the guy that you're trying to figure out where does he fit and where is he most comfortable and how competent can he be short term? Because he is a real sort of pivot piece in what you're going to do offensively and trying to figure out who your starting tackles are. And so Trapillo has been very impressive, I think, to the coaching staff with his maturity, his understanding of the game. And to hear him talk Friday about how at BC, while he had experience playing on both sides, if he was playing on one side, he would make sure to stay after practice to get reps on the other side, because he knew that versatility was going to be a huge part of him cracking into the NFL, breaking into the NFL and finding a place there. And so, look, like, we're not going to know a lot about the offensive line until they get the pads on in August. But in the meantime, we can watch kind of how natural he moves from the left side. We can understand that he's had some success on the right side. And then the Bears coaches are just going to have to figure out what that experiment needs to look like in the spring so that they can meet their goal of not having this thing play out all through training camp and not having stability or certainty about what they're going to do on the offensive line in front of Caleb.
I mean, it's not an anomaly if a second round pick is your starter at left tackle.
Not even close.
I mean, Braxton Jones was a starter as a fifth round pick, right? As a rookie.
Exactly. And that's my point, is Trapillo was drafted in the top 60 of a draft. This isn't like a flyer pick that, you know, you just say, oh, well, he's just a swing tackle. You don't make second round picks trying to make them reserves. You're trying to find a role for them early, as soon as possible. He doesn't have to necessarily be a week one starter, but you'd probably like him to be at least competing for that role before Halloween, right? Like, and to try to put his foot down and on the gas to try to make that happen. And he seems to understand that too, which is impressive hearing from him on Friday about just his approach of trying to take everything they're throwing at him and trying to master it as quickly as possible, understanding that there's an opportunity here. And when people give you opportunities, you try to seize them.
When it comes to Luther Burden, how would he, in your opinion, best be used by this offense at this point in his career?
Remains to be seen. And like, I thought it was cool to hear from Declan Doyle on, I guess it was Saturday, just talking about how they want to overload everybody here in this period of OTAs and minicamp and just try to get a feel for where guys are most comfortable and most effective, and then start pulling back from there. And so that experiment is part of this as well, because you've got to figure out what you want each of your playmakers to do for you. I think we've seen that Luther Burden with the ball in his hands is really dangerous. And so I think you're going to have that creative vision of this offensive staff trying to figure out, okay, what ways can we just get the ball to him quickly and let him do his damage as a guy with playmaking ability with the ball in his hands. And so look, that I think that's going to have some opportunities in the slot. That's going to have some opportunities to, you know, come take a jet sweep here and there. And I think over time, Ben is really eager to get this entire group together and just start playing around with it. And I think there's a creative process here in the spring and in the early parts of training camp that it may be difficult for us as observers to go through, because it's going to be very uncertain for a while. And they're just going to have to try to hone in day after day after day to figure out what suits everybody best, ultimately trying to bring, as we all know, the quarterback to the highest level he can get to as soon as possible.
Man, you're hitting on the stuff that fascinates me about a moment like this. They're in the knowledge acquisition phase their guys. They're not looking to give us answers or even to give themselves answers in the big picture necessarily. So I love this idea of them overloading these guys and seeing, all right, what can they handle? How does this person learn? How does that person learn? You think they're actively thinking about that stuff as they're trying to get to know these new guys?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head there, Spies. And that's kind of the realization I had walking out of there on Saturday afternoon, is they don't have a lot of answers right now. They're not sharing a lot of answers right now because they don't have them yet. And you know, like to hear Ben talk on Friday about, you know, I've ran a handful of practices at Halas Hall since I was hired. I haven't even put in a play with a formation yet, right? Like, so while the rest of us are feeling the urge to get to the starting gate and start thinking about what it's going to look like in week one, like they're still trying to get their feet on the ground, figure out who their players are, where everybody fits best, how they coach best, how they want to run practices, right? Like, I mean, for a lot of reasons, Friday for Ben was the first time he had been coaching a group of players. He joked that it's the first time he ever blew the whistle to stop a play as the head coach of a football team. So that orientation process for everybody is ongoing, and it's still in the very early stages. And we just got to kind of buckle into those seats in the classroom and learn along with them.
So he spoke directly to what he wanted to see from Trapillo, wanted to see him bring stuff from the meeting room the night before to the practice field the next day. And be like, oh, okay, well, that's good. So to Lawrence's point, what do they want to see from Burden? They want to see him, like, know where to line up. They want to see him go max effort each play. Like, I wonder what kind of stuff they want to see from him.
Yeah, it's all of that, right? It's the knowledge part of things. It's the practice habits. It's the effort. And you know, Luther Burden got hurt toward the end of Saturday's practice, making a catch and kind of landing funny on the football. Good to see him back out there on Sunday and be able to get back out there again. Look like he's an important player for sure, but he's just one of many playmakers in this offense that they've got to figure out how to use best. And he's probably not even in the top five if you're Ben and Declan Doyle and the others on that offensive staff and trying to figure out, okay, who do we need to feature for this offense to reach its peak in 2025? You're going to start with Caleb. You know, you're going to go over to DJ. You're going to move over to Rome. You're going to talk about Colston. Then you're going to get to Cole. And then eventually we're going to get to Luther Burden. And Luther is obviously in the spotlight right now because it's rookie camp. And he's a, you know, day two pick that we've been interested in for the last couple of weeks. But when you're looking at the big picture of this football team, all those other guys I just mentioned are more important to how they start to shape this offense. And so until they're all on the field together, it's hard to make many guesses on how it's all going
to
gel.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dan Wiederer joining us here as we talk Bears and Bears rookie minicamp. This is one of my favorite things about covering a team and also one of my least favorites is there's some name recognition of some guys that were either picked late or were undrafted free agents. And you start going, well, you know, this guy might have an opportunity to make the team. And there are two guys that I am curious about as UDFAs, and it's the two safeties, because a lot of people had Major Burns
Salute!
And yep. Tysheem Johnson as draftable safeties.
Yep.
How likely is it that one or both of them gets a legitimate shot to make the team?
Well, there's going to be opportunity, and that's going to come in training camp, and it's going to come during preseason game action. And you guys know that once those lights turn on for preseason game action, that's when the true evaluation for guys like that really starts. You know, you want to see how they do all this other stuff on the build up to that, but then you're going to put them out there in what's essentially a job interview, and you're going to say, prove to us that you belong on this football team in September, and they're going to have to do that. We all know that the depth at safety is not fortified at a level where that's, you know, there's not any openings there. There's openings there to make this football team. You're going to have to produce on special teams. You're going to have to show Dennis Allen that you've got the type of range and length and strength and quickness that he requires from that position. And that will have plenty of opportunities here in the next 4 months for those guys to do that. Burns is a guy that Dennis Allen was asked about on Saturday. And it was another reminder that, like, I don't know that he spent more than 15 minutes watching him, you know, at rookie camp as he's trying to attend to everything else. And it was one of those answers where it's like, yeah, he's got a chance, but all these guys got a chance, you know, and you're reminded that, yeah, these guys are still getting to know all of these players and trying to figure out where they fit. But I do think that safety position is really intriguing because not only the lack of depth there, but your two starters have uncertain futures beyond 2025. And so you got to start to try to find answers there as quickly as possible.
That's where I wanted to go next. How confident are you that you know what Jaquan Brisker's situation is?
I mean, nobody can be confident in that. I don't even think Jaquan, as confident as he is with everything, could be confident in that. You can't have this sort of documented history of head injuries and feel great that it's in the clear. You're not in the clear. This is professional football. It's a high collision, high impact sport. And so there's no way that you can, you know, put your head on the pillow as a Bears coaching staff or a front office feeling like, oh yeah, we're good with Jaquan. He's going to be great for 2025 and beyond. You have to be making contingency plans with the hope and the fingers crossed that Brisker plays really well and stays healthy and gives you an entire season starting. But we've seen it for 3 years. We know what's waiting behind door number two, right? And so you hope for the best, but you have to plan for things to not go as according to your best case scenario.
And just to tag what you guys are talking about, you got new coaches and how they feel about the safety position could be very different than the way that Matt Eberflus felt on some levels. You know, you can look at Dennis Allen's safeties in New Orleans and otherwise, and look at the guys that Al Harris has worked for, or Cannon Matthews, who's the guy who works with the Nichols, right? Like Tysheem Johnson is fascinating because he's a little shorter, but he's fast as hell, he's got some nickel capabilities. And for instance, if you're going to be moving Kyler Gordon around a little bit, maybe you want another guy like him who can be a safety or a nickel.
Yeah, a Swiss Army knife guy.
Right, he gives you another Swiss Army knife that you can train under Kyler, who you're clearly going to make a Swiss Army knife.
Speaks, that's where I was going to go next, because when DA openly volunteered the Kyler Gordon versatility experiment to us, you know, and like the second time we ever talked to him, that was eye-opening. Okay, we're going to be playing defense in a little different style than what Chicago has seen for the last 3 years. And so it's going to require some mixing and matching of parts. It's going to require guys to have different tools in their toolbox. And so the tests of all those things are going to come. You know, some of it will start next week and what's going to be a very surface level OTA, and you'll get a little bit more in the mini camp in a couple weeks. And then, you know, the training camp stage will open and we'll all be there every single day, microanalyzing everything that happens. But certainly there is going to be an opportunity for us to feel out what Dennis Allen's looking for from all these defensive backs and how he prioritizes kind of the creativity and versatility that he seems to like.
Now, you drifted into these waters last week with your mock schedule.
I'm already wrong on one.
Yeah, and we were talking before the show, and we don't even know if we don't have a place for it in today's show, but I thought we would ask you a little bit about this. What the NFL has done with the schedule release. Even at NFL Honors, I was talking with Spiegs about this, and I was like, or at the draft, I said, we already knew that the schedule was coming out May 14th. Why was there like a whole thing that happened at the draft about it?
And now this week is offensive. This week is disgusting.
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
So
manipulative. Tell people what they're doing, Lawrence.
Well, now it's like every
day.
Every day, and every one of the partners has something that they're kind of leaking out.
Go ahead, NBC. You leak out just this little nugget.
And then, you know, Amazon, you leak this.
Go ahead,
and,
Amazon.
You know, Netflix, you leak this.
Like we're all just poor little bastards, like looking to drink from the tap of NFL schedule leaks.
But Speaks, I promise you, that show that they put on Wednesday night is going to draw 7 million people.
I know.
Just for the schedule release alone, it's going to happen. So, as someone who has covered this league for as long as you have, how have you seen the evolution of this work?
So, 2012, my first spring back in the NFL at the Minneapolis Star Tribune, I wrote a column about how stupid this all is, about how we already knew the opponents, we already knew who they were going to play, and yet we were somehow going to have all this pomp and circumstance about what dates the games are slotted on. And here I am, what, 12 years later, whatever it is now, and it's only getting bigger, and somehow the grand reveal gets a little bit more intricate every single year, and there's two more partners every year, and there's one more holiday that we're going to play on, and there's all these other things. Look, like the NFL has mastered being a 365 day a year league. It does it better than any other industry that I've ever seen, and so this is just part of it, and they clearly have a really, really strong appetite from their fan base for things like this. They always seem to hit the bullseye, no matter how ridiculous some of this stuff seems. And so I'm just eagerly awaiting my own ability to get my hands on the 2025 Bears schedule and starting to book Marriott's throughout the fall.
Because I like that.
To a beat reporter.
All right, Dan, let's access that Minnesota past. I'm sure you still have people there. Is there any chance that they call Aaron Rodgers and give him what he appears to want, which is a chance to play for the Vikings as he makes the Steelers wait for what they appear to want, which is him to play for the Steelers.
There's always a chance coming out of the owners' meetings in March. I felt like that chance got way slimmer and it didn't feel like that was a priority for them at all. This league is strange though. Look, like I was not there for the Brett Favre era, but I've heard tales. You know, they went to the starting gate a couple times, not expecting to have Brett Favre as their quarterback. And next thing you know, Steve Hutchinson and Jared Allen are in a plane down to Mississippi to go get Brett, you know, like, okay, here we go. That's where I think that was the 2010 season that went horribly south after they convinced him to come back for a second go at things. And so you never know. This league is full of weird last minute decisions and plenty of drama. Aaron Rodgers is full of plenty of last minute decisions and drama. And so we'll see where it all goes. I would still put my money on the Steelers being the destination for Aaron Rodgers and tying that back to the schedule. The Steelers play at Soldier Field this year. So boys, wouldn't that be fun to see Aaron come back into that building and have one more opportunity to see the Bears take a swing at him.
You buying the Derek Carr retirement?
For now,
I think that's the perfect way to put it.
Every athlete's retirement, I think, is a for now, isn't it?
I ran across a depiction of what his first day of retirement was, and it was the day off of a football player. He got up and he lifted with the family. He had breakfast with the family. He then had the family go run. Then he had lunch with his wife. He went and played a round of golf. Then he came home and lifted and watched film and went to bed.
Oh, my God. That was the first day of retirement?
That was his first day of retirement.
Why is he watching film?
That's why I asked Weedsy about this, because I don't. Maybe he wants to coach. Who knows? Or maybe he envisions himself playing again, because that's sure what it seemed like.
Well, retiring means that the Saints get to save some of that money, right? So that's a big deal in and of itself. So yeah, it's interesting. I have some Saints fans, family,
Tyler Shuck, baby,
who are loving that Derek Carr is retiring.
Oh yeah,
they're thrilled that Derek Carr is walking away.
Like think about this, and New Orleans is a good case study for how spoiled they were forever with Drew and Sean. And then Drew and Sean walk away, and then like, oh man, this is what life's like on the other side. And I still have feelings like the folks in Green Bay don't have any idea what's waiting for them if Jordan Love just turns out to be a mid dude and can't really play quarterback at the elite level that everyone expects him to play.
Oh man,
like, I think they're going to be on the other side of that equation sooner than they think.
I love the image of two Vikings who were not sure who they are yet getting on a plane to go get Aaron Rodgers the way that Hutchinson went to go get Favre. It would really complete the Aaron Rodgers turn into Brett Favre in a really wonderful way.
There'd be another thing that he needs to do to complete that, but luckily he won't.
That's not off the table.
I think it's probably off the table for him. I will say that there is the opportunity for something fun with this Derek Carr thing. I think Tyler Shuck's going to be the guy, but if it's Spencer Rattler and they're on the Bears schedule,
Spencer versus Caleb.
There it is. Uh-huh. Round three of those two guys.
There's
there
a lot
go.
Of stuff. If you really get in the weeds of this schedule, there's a lot of stuff like that. Potential matchups that the Bears face that could be fun and little stories for that week. And so like that's where Wednesday does have some fun appeal to it. I don't know if you guys can get up with Danny and get him to get that schedule for us early in the day.
He can't do it anymore. I texted him today.
What good is he then?
He's embargoed because he works for a partner.
Oh, that's right.
He's not allowed to do it as a Fox employee anymore, if he could.
He might be able to leak it to maybe a former radio partner of his if he was truly a good friend.
I didn't bring it up, you condescending piece of crap.
Maybe I'll leak it to you.
That would be, no one would suspect that.
Yeah, that would keep everyone off the trail. That would be good quality subterfuge.
Hey, are you aware of the other Caleb Williams connection to a star in town? Are you aware of that, Weedsy?
I might not be.
So, Cubs pitcher Cade Horton was recruited by Oklahoma to play both quarterback and be a pitcher. He accounted for 4,000 yards as a senior quarterback and 40 touchdowns. And he took the baseball scholarship and was going to walk on at Oklahoma, but he blew out his arm. But that would have been 2021 when freshman Caleb Williams was in the Oklahoma quarterback room. Cade Horton and Caleb Williams were very together with Spencer Rattler in a quarterback room in Oklahoma.
And there's an alternate universe where Luther Burden was going to go to Oklahoma with Caleb as well. So they could have all been teammates all at the same time. And that would have been a wild, wild universe there. Maybe we need to get those guys together for dinner downtown somewhere, and they can go over all of it.
See, the football sliding doors is excellent. Dan, thanks for joining us. It was a delight.
All right, guys, we'll talk soon.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, Ford. America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.